Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're tackling a fascinating topic today, one you were curious enough to send our way. We're diving into the hidden world of bacteria and how they can actually impact human health. Specifically, an essay all about the different types of bacteria categorized by their cell walls. Who knew such tiny structures could make such a big difference, right?
Right.
But before we get lost in the microscopic details, imagine this. You're a doctor with a patient in serious condition. Every second counts. You need to know what type of bacteria is causing the illness to provide the right treatment.
Yeah, so that's a great point.
That's where today's topic comes in handy, understanding the difference between gram-positive and gram-negative bacteria.
It's all thanks to this ingenious technique called Gram staining, developed by Hans Christian Gram way back in 1884, a quick and effective way to differentiate bacteria based on the structure of their cell walls.
So those cell walls are important.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
The essay described them as a kind of fortress protecting bacteria?
Yeah.
What makes them so tough?
Well, the key ingredient is a unique molecule called peptoglycan. And it's this sort of mesh-like structure that you find only in bacteria. So think of it like a chain link fence surrounding the bacteria, made up of these two key building blocks, N-acetylglucosamine and N-acetylmuranic acid, which link together and they cross-link to create this really sturdy protective layer.
So it's like a complex interwoven barrier.
Exactly.
And this is where it gets interesting, right? The essay mentioned that some antibiotics like penicillin actually work by disrupting this peptidoglycan layer.
Exactly. Penicillin, it basically acts like a pair of wire cutters, just snipping those chain links in the peptidoglycan. This weakens the bacterial cell wall, making it vulnerable. And this ties directly into the concept of Gram staining. You see, the amount of peptidoglycan determines whether a bacterium stains gram-positive, meaning a thick peptidoglycan layer, or gram-negative, meaning a thinner one.
Okay, so we're basically categorizing bacteria based on the thickness of their armor.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it, yeah.
The gram-positive bacteria, with their thick peptidoglycan layers, sound like the tough guys of the microbial world.
That's a great way to put it, yeah. This robust structure makes them capable of surviving in some really harsh conditions. Think about bacteria like Staphylococcus aureus, responsible for staph infections, or Streptococcus pneumonia, which can cause pneumonia and meningitis. These are both gram-positive bacteria, and they're incredibly resilient.
It makes you realize those seemingly simple infections can be caused by some pretty hardcore bacteria.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, the essay mentions something called teichoic acids. These molecules embedded within the peptidoglycan of gram-positive bacteria. Are these just decorative elements, or do they have a function?
Oh, they're not just for show. They actually think of teichoic acids like reinforcing rods within that peptidoglycan fence, you know, further strengthening that cell wall. They also contribute to the cell's negative charge, which can be important for various cellular processes. And here's the kicker. They actually play a role in how our own immune systems recognize and respond to these bacteria.
So they're like a red flag for our immune system, saying, hey, we've got a tough customer here.
Exactly.
That's fascinating. So we've covered the tough guys, but what about the sneakiest bacteria? Let's talk about those gram-negative bacteria, the ones with a slightly different strategy for survival.
They are sneaky, yeah. Gram-negative bacteria are kind of like the ninjas of the microbial world.
Yeah.
They've got this extra layer of defense, an outer membrane that covers their thinner peptidoglycan layer.
Like a stealth shield, so that they have a disguise, making them harder to target.
Right.
That outer membrane must make them trickier to deal with, right?
Absolutely. It's a double-edged sword. This outer membrane provides extra protection against certain antibiotics and even some of our body's defenses.
Hmm.
But it also means those wire cutters, that penicillin that we talked about earlier, not as effective.
That makes sense. It's like trying to break through a wall versus getting past a wall and a security guard.
Exactly.
And speaking of extra defenses, the essay mentioned a molecule called LPS lipopolysaccharide that's found in the outer membrane of gram-negative bacteria. That name sounds kind of harmless, like some sugary snack.
Right.
What is LPS?
Well, don't let the name fool you. LPS is an endotoxin, and it can actually be quite dangerous.
Wait, really? Why is that?
Well, when gram-negative bacteria invade our bodies, our immune system recognizes this LPS as a threat, which is a good thing. But this LPS triggers such a strong immune response that it can sometimes backfire.
You're saying our own immune system can make us sicker when fighting gram-negative bacteria. That's wild.
It is. Think of it like this. The immune system sends out all its soldiers, white blood cells, inflammatory molecules to fight the bacteria. But with LPS, that response can get out of control. It can lead to widespread inflammation, fever, and even potentially life-threatening conditions like septic shock.
Wow. Okay, that puts it into perspective. So this seemingly simple difference in their cell walls, gram-positive with the thick peptidoglycan layer, gram-negative with the outer membrane and LPS, it has huge implications for how these bacteria interact with our bodies and how we treat the infections they cause.
Exactly. It's crucial for doctors to know what they're dealing with because a treatment effective against a gram-positive bacteria might not work at all against a gram-negative one, and vice versa.
That makes me think back to that doctor we imagined earlier. You know, knowing this about cell walls would totally change their approach to treating that sick patient.
Precisely. Understanding this fundamental difference, it's crucial for doctors, for researchers. It guides treatment decisions. It influences the development of new antibiotics. It even helps us understand how bacterial infections can escalate into those more serious conditions.
It's amazing how something as seemingly small as the structure of a bacterial cell wall can have such a huge impact on our health. It's like realizing there's this entire universe of complexity happening at the microscopic level that's constantly influencing our lives in ways we might not even realize.
But there's more to this bacteria story, right? The essay also mentioned something about gram-variable and gram-indeterminate bacteria. What's that all about? Gram-variable, gram-indeterminate? It's like they didn't get the memo on how bacteria are supposed to act. It sounds like these bacteria are kind of the rule breakers of the bunch.
Yeah, you could say that. They're the rebels of the microbial world. These bacteria, they don't fit neatly into our gram-positive or gram-negative categories because their cell walls are unique.
So they're like the wild cards, making things even more complicated for diagnosing infections, I imagine? Exactly. Their unique structures can make traditional gram staining unreliable. Take Mycobacterium tuberculosis, for example. So that's the bacterium that's responsible for tuberculosis. It has this waxy layer made of mycolic acids in its cell wall that makes it incredibly tough, resistant to a lot of common antibiotics.
So it's like trying to fight a knight that's wearing like extra layers of armor.
Exactly, yeah. And this waxy coating, it also interferes with the gram staining process. So it's like trying to, you know, color on a nonstick pan the dye just doesn't want to stick properly.
That makes identifying and treating these infections much trickier then.
You got it. They often require these more specialized staining techniques, and then the treatment approaches have to be tailored for those specific bacteria.
So it really highlights how the microbial world is full of surprises and our understanding is always evolving.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
It's a good reminder that we can't get complacent. There's always something new to learn about even the tiniest organisms.
Couldn't agree more. This deep dive has really only scratched the surface of bacterial diversity and this ongoing battle against these infectious diseases. Who knows what new research and advancements might change how we understand and combat bacteria in the future.
Maybe scientists will discover a whole new category of bacteria that makes gram-variable and gram-indeterminate look tame.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
There's still so much to explore in the microbial world.
Well, on that note, let's recap what we learned today. We started by imagining ourselves as doctors who need to make a quick diagnosis. And it turns out knowing the difference between gram-positive and gram-negative bacteria is absolutely crucial for choosing the right treatment.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great summary.
Gram-positive bacteria with those thick peptidoglycan layers are like those heavily armored knights, you know, tough and resilient. And then we have our gram-negative bacteria, more like stealthy ninjas with their outer membrane and LPS, which, of course, we learned can trigger that powerful immune response in our bodies, which can sometimes even backfire. And let's not forget those rebellious gram-variable and gram-indeterminate bacteria marching to the beat of their own drum with their unique cell wall structures.
They're out there.
They're out there. And their mind is that biology is rarely black and white, and there's always more to discover.
For sure.
It's been quite a journey into the microscopic world today. A huge thank you to our listener for sending in that thought-provoking essay. And for those of you listening, keep those questions coming. We're always up for a deep dive into this fascinating world of science. Until next time, stay curious.